Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Just like Aston Villa's performance, I forgot to show up as well just there. Aston Villa 1, Chelsea 3, Villa no longer in the FA Cup, dumped out unceremoniously by a better Chelsea team today, a Chelsea team that played better, should I say, for longer periods of that game. And a game, I think, where Aston Villa, for the first 8 to 10 minutes, I thought they started off brightly. We got in behind Chelsea. And after that, once Chelsea got their goal through Conor Gallagher, which was a poor goal to concede from how we built up towards the goal, but a superb finish from Conor Gallagher. After that, we looked second best, I think, everywhere, specifically in midfield. But not the result we wanted, Paddy. Definitely not the result we wanted.
Well, look, it is what it is. And We never turned up from the word go. We never turned up. It was as poor a performance as we've seen. And there is no excuses. The team was good enough that was out on the pitch. 100% this result is all on the team that were out there. We had a midfield who were really, really poor from the word go. Couldn't make a pass stick. Couldn't get a pass on target. Just really off it in the first half. Third goal killed it. Was it a free kick? Was it not? No, I don't know. Awful coverage from ITV Sports. Didn't feel like showing us the right angle to do it. But according to Lee Dixon, he didn't think it was a free kick, but he doesn't care. It didn't matter. The ball's in the top corner. It doesn't matter. Of course it matters, Lee. And back in your time, when you were giving out about the famous Villa Park atmosphere under lights, I seem to remember a night when Ryan Giggs tore you a second hole and scored one of the greatest goals of Villa Park. So he always forgets that one, apparently. But what an embarrassing performance from Lee Dixon. What an embarrassing performance from our team. I have no excuses, absolutely none. We are just totally off it tonight from the word go. Kind of happy we got the goal in the end for Diaby's confidence. Apparently, Lee Dixon thinks he mishit it. He missed hit it.
Dixon was phoning it in. Like, I think we can all agree on that one. Like, I'm not going to sit here and we're not trying to deflect attention to it. I think we can all agree Dixon phoned it in tonight. Like, yeah, he wasn't 100% sure what was going on.
He is fucking getting paid to be there. Getting paid.
Oh, I know.
Handsomely to be there.
But yeah, but what? It is what it is, to be honest with you. Lee Dixon commentating on the game today didn't make our midfields be as passive as they were in the first game for the first half. It didn't make Alex Moreno have probably the worst performance I've seen him have in a Villa shirt in a defensive point of view. And also, like, it didn't make Yuri Thielemans misplaced passes, you know. But I'm not calling out players here to be divisive or anything like that. And we're not going to go down through every single player or anything like that. But it just, you mentioned it, Paddy. Today was an off day. Saturday was a very much an on day. And I think if we had played, regardless of who we were playing on Saturday, and people would say, oh yeah, but we played the bottom of the league team. Oh yeah, but we're playing Chelsea team. I genuinely believe the way things clicked on Saturday, they clicked right and we were humming. But they didn't click right tonight. And the biggest reason they didn't click right tonight, I think, is because that's an awesome midfield that the Chelsea have. Called it before the game. I said, whoever wins in midfield will win this game. Conor Gallagher did his job again today. I thought he was outstanding. I would have given him man of the match over Enzo Fernandez just because of all the work he does. And Chelsea are going to be scary outfit when they start to click game after game after game after game. And Villa just didn't tonight. But look, I suppose if we were to separate it, my mindset is I'm trying to separate that game into three different compartments. I suppose the first compartment is let's look at the result. Okay, result is 3-1 Chelsea. Didn't like that. Then when I look at the three goals specifically, just as outliers all on their own, the three goals Chelsea scored were all brilliant goals. That header from Nicholas Jackson is amazing. That's a brilliant header. The goal from Conor Gallagher has to go in the top corner. And the free kick from Enzo Fernandez Enzo is just, like, that's a worldie of a free kick. Taking them all in silos like that, whether the free kick was a free kick or not, whether Douglas Luiz didn't bother looking behind him at all for for the 20-yard run he makes when Conor Gallagher is running behind him, that's beside the point. Or whether Diego Carlos was a million miles away from his right fullback. They were all the mistakes for the goals, but the way the goals were taken were still needed to be really well taken. And then the last piece then that I would look at, the third piece, which is the most annoying part for me, is that
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That like, again, there are times and there are games when we look like the team look like they're looking around for somebody to grab it by the scruff of the neck. And these guys have progressed so far beyond that now. That was Steven Gerrard territory. Arguably, that was first season of Dean Smith territory, looking for somebody to grab it by the scruff of the neck. In a game like this today, we should have enough experience. People should have enough experience to start to try and direct traffic inside there themselves. Like the likes of Tielemans wasn't able to do it today. McGinn was pushed out to the left. I have no real problem with that, but you know, we kept being passive in that midfield area, and somebody just needed to make the call and say, right lads, everybody pack it inside there. We need a 10 minutes of stability here to curb anything that's coming, and we just didn't seem to do that. So for me, that's the most disappointing aspect of it, is the on-field leadership to a point. We talked about it, and we can't keep talking about it whenever X player goes out of the team. That's what I'm getting at here. Like, Ming's got the team. Who's going to be leader that stands up? And arguably it was Kanza that stood up. Now McGinn has been brilliant, ran himself into the ground again tonight. But like, it's what's going to happen in that midfield area. You know, McGinn is a leader by doing, but like, I'm starting to hope that Douglas Luiz becomes that player that's able to galvanize people around him and start calling the shots and say, hey, lads, everyone behind the ball for 1-5 minutes till we regroup. We don't seem to do that in these games. You didn't do it against Newcastle, didn't do it here against Chelsea, didn't do it against Liverpool at the start of the season. And they're outlier games.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, it's still important. Against Manchester United, you go 2-2 against Man United, batten the hatches down for 10 minutes and take your draw. We don't seem to have learned that somewhere. And maybe it's not doing an Emery way of doing it, but I think maybe some way, shape or form, a kind of a call needed to be made in the field there at one stage in the first half just to stem the bleeding, but it didn't happen. And then 15 minutes after kickoff, then for the second half, you know, that world-class free kick is scored, and there's no real coming back from that, I think. But you mentioned, sorry, I'm on a massive long talking stint.
That's all right. We don't have a whole pile to say.
I'm going to continue on. I thought Diaby looked like, it's mad. I thought all of our, like, that Chelsea team is actually really big. Is it me or was it really big? I just thought they looked a big team. Maybe it's because Diaby and Bailey. Well, Diaby looked tiny on the field, but I thought he was okay when he came on. I thought there was a bit of there was a small bit about him. Like, there's fine margins there. Like, I'm going to say it, we didn't play well. It could have been 3-3. You know, Alex Moreno. If it's anyone else other than Alex Moreno at the back post, he probably heads that ball in. Diaby's goal. Tim Urkbunum was in hard luck. I know they had one or two shots. So that brilliant save from Martinez that will never be talked about. That one where he's on the ground and just sticks a hand.
3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. What a brilliant save. You know, we did force some saves. Bailey had two shots that Petrovic had to save in the first half as well. We were not good, and I'm not making excuses, but if we're clinical with our chances, like Chelsea.
McGinn probably should have done better with the chance that he was pushed over the top as well.
Yeah.
Look, the people going in
out of this today. And I think we look at it and say, oh, Aston Villa were absolutely useless. And I suppose there are parts of me that kind of went, like, there were parts in the field where we were absolutely dominated and decimated and overrunning, absolutely. But the team does find a way of getting those chances. And, you know, and some days we get those chances. Maybe at 1-1, we get it back to 1-1 somehow. After that, when they score their goal, Watkins and Bailey link up and Bailey has those two shots. Maybe we get back to 1-1 in that instance. But it didn't happen. I'm just talking about here that we did have chances in that game. And it could have been a 3-3 game. And we probably would. Well, there's no probably. But we wouldn't have deserved it if the whole game played out other than Alex Moreno's header goes under the crossbar and Tim Ergbunum heads it into the ground and it bounces up into the roof of the net. You know, things like that. And that's kind of what happens in cup football sometimes. A team gets a draw out of nowhere and, you know, they're not playing well. And anyway, you know, I've talked too much.
Well, I'll tell you who's talking too much. A lot of people in the comments, because if you feel the need to go in hard on one player in particular, there's something wrong. We lost the game in midfield from the start.
Yeah,
they dictated the tempo of the game, and they won the game because of it. It was all three players in midfield at fault. As a result, we had Leon Bailey dropping back into his own half, and then trying to turn forward and nothing there, and then turning back into trouble. If one cog is not working at this level of the game, you're in trouble. Chelsea have gone through a season without cogs working, and they've lost to teams that they shouldn't have lost to, and that's just how football works at this level. It's not a one player. He can carry one player. If they're having a bad game, you take him off. But like, what was Unai Emery to do at halftime? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and take one of them off because they were all at fault.
If you were to ask me who would have got the curly finger at halftime to change up how midfield was working, it was probably Tielemans, but that's the pack. Like, we go in at 1-0 and go, okay, Yuri, come on, take a step aside. Let's bring someone in that's maybe that probably has a small bit more about him to get around the field. Tielemans was caught between two stools tonight. Like, against Sheffield United, brilliant at the weekend. Yeah. Brilliant. The way he played, how we got him into space. Caught between two stools. They didn't take a blind bit of notice of him tonight, and they just plowed past him. Like, the whole idea of playing him up there, I think, was to keep a Caicedo or somebody back there to marshal him after his performance at the weekend. But what they did was they went, no, hold on a minute here. We're going to go right at the other three by the other two lads, because McGinn was out wide a good bit. Going to go at these other two lads here and have a 3-on-2 in midfield. And that's what happened. And, you know, the plus and the minus there is that, you know, I still have faith that Luis and Kamara can marshal a three-man midfield like that. And then we have that break with Tielemans. But the big problem was, once again, hey, everybody mark it in their bingo card. When something like that happens and Conor Gallagher pushes both Luis and Kamara so far back, the space between Tielemans and the space between Luis and Kamara gets so disjointed that we can't have that quick attack through the middle. And we have to go wide, and then it gives them time to regroup. So there's a bit of tweaking to be done there. There was a bit of tweaking to be done. If we're going to, like, Tielemans will always be that player that's either going to be, I think, as he goes forward in this team, he's going to be sublime one week. And if you get enough of the ball to him, he can get in tempo. He's going to be brilliant. But if he can't, he may be a bit of a bit of lead, and that's fine. And it's not like I can see what he does right well, and this isn't me kicking him or anything like that. It's just today it didn't work for him because we couldn't get the ball up. We couldn't get the ball to him or Watkins. And their midfield was just better than ours. It just really was. It was better on the day. That's where it all came from. Like, their midfield were so good, and they were so compact in the middle. Our fullbacks had to come in. I mentioned that I thought that Alex Moreno was poor tonight. And he was, in a defensive point of view. And the reason being was because he had to get further up the field to try and defend. And you see it for the second goal was at Malagusta's run, just saunters past him. And that's not, I'm once again not digging out Moreno. It was because our midfield was crumbling. that other people then were forced to come into other positions, and it just didn't work. It left us open in areas, and Chelsea were clinical.
Yeah. So go back to your first part of the rant about your curly finger. My curly finger would have been to Boubacar Kamara in the first half. I just thought everything he tore and touched to mush. Couldn't make a pass stick or pass it. Even in defeat, how many times he gave the ball away, I lost count. Look, I honestly think we've got bigger fish to fry. Not that I'm undermining the FA Cup. I would be much more pissed off if we have this performance on Sunday. And there's a huge body of work to get through before we put 11 players on that pitch on Sunday. I think if we do this on Sunday, then the cradle starts to rock and we're in trouble. That is my overriding emotion after tonight. If we put in another performance like that, it means we've done it at Chelsea, we've done it at Newcastle, and then Manchester United in the space of a few weeks. That cannot happen on Sunday. It needs to be a masterful performance on Sunday. And where we're going to pull it from, I'm not so sure. I'm very downbeat after watching that tonight. But look,
I will say, Paddy, you do get very down after last. This is me criticizing your anything, like, but no, I think like we've been in.
No, I think a lot
of people are very down after this, but this doesn't affect our Champions League aspirations losing tonight. Yes, it might.
That's what I'm telling you about Sunday. Tonight didn't bother me as much as Sunday, as much as I hate losing to that shower who spend £1 billion on players. It kills me. It absolutely kills me. But I'll get over this one if the performance is up to scratch on Sunday, because I really, really feel that a loss or a bad performance on Sunday, it resulting in a scoreline like tonight, could set us back big time, considering the players and leaders that are missing from the team. So we need to regroup. We need to get ourselves together and set ourselves for Sunday. I said to you off air, there was a reason why I wasn't overly pissed off tonight. It occurred to me after we booked our live podcast in Birmingham on April 19th, that if we got to the FA Cup semi-final, we'd have no game to watch in Birmingham that weekend.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, because the match will be moved. Yeah. Whoops.
So as it stands, ourselves and Bournemouth are now out of the FA Cup. And also, I booked my birthday trip to go to West Ham away, and that wouldn't have happened if we'd have won. Anyway, there you go.
And Paddy's there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I need to... We need to regroup for Sunday. I cannot underestimate or overstate how important Sunday is now. I think it lays down a marker to everybody else, if we can go and overturn what happened on St. Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, and get a result against Manchester United at home. We know we can do it. We know we're more than capable of doing it. It's just now up to the maestro to get this team pouring and ready for Sunday. And it's going to be difficult after that.
Yeah, and time will tell, I suppose, on Sunday. But thanks a million to everybody who's watched tonight. As I said, we're not going to do a really long podcast in this. Firstly, I just want to say a real massive thank you to Ryan. He's become a member, and he's also donated £2, and he's also gifted one for the Love of Pomegranate podcast membership as well to somebody. I have no idea how you even do that. So, Ryan, to hit the Holy Trinity like that, fair play to you, because thank you so much, especially in a loss like that. It means an awful lot. And thanks for saying that you love the podcast as well.
And thanks to the nearly 500 people who are in there tonight, you know.
Very much so.
I know it's a hard watch to come in and listen to us, you know, being pissed off over this. This game won't define our season. A performance like this on Sunday will, and that's why I can't just... The thoughts now of sleeping for the next 4 nights worrying about this game on Sunday is absolutely killing me. So, fingers crossed. And look, I'm still a believer.
I'm still a believer too. Yeah. And Paddy, for the sleep, I prescribe 2 thimblefuls of Hennessy every night before you go to bed. That'll knock you to sleep. Well, not thimblefuls, sorry, bucketfuls. That'll knock you to sleep. You'll be fine. That's one way to get sleep.
I'm still coming out from Saturday. I'm still hyper from Saturday. So I'm trying to get myself back to normal.
I woke up after Saturday and got a text message to go into work. So there was, yeah, there's, so I haven't had a chance to even process Saturday yet, but today was a comeback down to world, to the art moment, should I say. But just for anybody, look, try maybe to put a smile on people's faces. On Friday, we will be sharing Friday at, I think it's 9 o'clock. It's scheduled to go out for our live podcast with Paul McGrath. It's good fun. Like, it's nice. It's wholesome. It's, put it this way, it's not going to let you down with a 3-1 scoreline. Put it that way. So if you want to start off your weekend well, I'd suggest that you hit the like button and you hit the bell or whatever and watch it, because it's great to see 250 Villa fans roaring their guts up, you know, at the best defender to ever do it. And by God, we could have done with him out there tonight. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching, for listening. A bit of a shorter podcast. Better days are ahead, I'm absolutely sure. And we will see you again for a preview, Team Sheet Tantrum, post-match, and also in between all that, the Paul McGrath podcast will be on Friday. Thanks a million, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Podcast Network.